I need you, Lord, right now.
Amen. How many can say that this morning? I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that he's so faithful. He promised us that he would come where two or more are gathered in his name. He promised. And he never breaks his word. He never breaks his promise. You can count on that. So we're so blessed to be in his presence this morning. And we want to be mindful of that, of course, and everything we say and everything that we do. And I'm sure that we are. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. And we're so thankful to be gathered together again for another resurrection morning service. And we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us. So, as was mentioned before, we have a visiting minister with us this morning, Brother Femi Adela Dunn, and his brother has ministered for us before, Brother Dile. If you remember, I believe it was February of 2022, our special meetings. I think it was our first special meetings back in the building here. And then again in July of 2022. And I had met Brother Dile and his brother and many others at Brother Jabez Kameda's convention in Ugeli, Nigeria, in August of 2018. And I was thinking it was 2019, but my goodness, time just goes, it just gets away, right? In fact, I was talking with our brother Roshan Masi from India, and I was supposed to go to India in 2020, and then COVID hit, right? I didn't go anywhere in 2020. I didn't go anywhere in 2021. We did a little traveling here in the U.S. in 2022, 2023. Made one trip overseas this year. So yeah, I'm feeling really bad for our brother because I don't want him to get a complex. You know, we were supposed to be there 5 years ago. And as you recall, your generous contributions have allowed them to finish the building of their church. And we'd like to go and take some pictures and fellowship with them and come back with a report. So, we'll be in prayer about that. We're thankful that our, Brother Femi is with us this morning, and we want him to take his liberty. He'll be with us this evening as well. Tonight, we're going to have a baptism after the service, and so we're looking forward to that. So if you haven't been baptized and you're still on the fence, it's a good opportunity, right? The waters will be nice and warm, I'm sure, as they have been in the past. And so it's an opportunity to... You know, Brother Branham's own testimony was, I would have given my heart to the Lord sooner if there hadn't been a spirit hanging over me that was saying, not now, not now. So we know that if God calls us and draws us to him, we can't come except he draws us. But if he's dealing with our hearts and he's drawing us, we know we can drag our feet. And so my advice to you this morning is if you're dragging your feet, don't drag your feet. Right? Jump in. The waters will be nice and warm. I guarantee you. And so we would normally have the Lord's Supper after the service this evening. We're going to postpone it until after the evening service next Sunday, just so that you know that. We also will be giving you the details of the watch night service that we have every year. I'm still surprised that people are surprised that we have a watch night service. Even in the denominations, they have a watch night service, right? So we grew up doing that. And, you know, I can still remember some of the, you know, we would gather together. It was either before or after the service, the congregation would be gathered together and we'd be in a circle. You know, they'd do some kind of cute stuff to usher in the new year. You know, like for instance, they'd have items in bags that and they would give the bag to somebody and then you're supposed to say something on a whim, right? about the new year based on the object that's in the bag, you know. So, for instance, you might open a bag and there'll be one of them mixers, right? Those hand mixers, right? And so somebody would say, may the new year beat the old new year, or something like that, right? Kind of corny, but it was, obviously it stuck with me. You know, that was almost 60 years ago. I still remember that, but we won't be doing that, so don't worry about that. But Brother Brown did say the way you start your year is the way you're going to finish it, right? And we want to start the year in his presence, and giving him praise and looking for his guidance. We're not going to turn over a new leaf, but if you haven't turned over a new life, it would be a good time. So we're not going to make some vain, you know, I'm going to do this resolutions that people generally end up not following through with. But we are going to look at our walk, and we are going to recommit ourselves to him. And we're going to look forward to his coming more than we ever have before. Because one thing's for sure, we're closer than we've ever been before. And with each passing day, we get closer and closer. So we'll give you the details on that very soon. But I can tell you that it will be on a Tuesday night this year. We generally start at 8:30 p.m. So being that it's New Year's Day, we'll be on a Wednesday. We won't have a Wednesday service this year. We'll do the Tuesday night service, and then Wednesday we won't have service. So we want our brother to come and take his liberty this morning. And once again, he's from Lagos, Nigeria, which is, if you're not familiar with Africa, it's West Africa. It's that arm that sticks out to the west. It would be just on the coast there, the country that's highest up on the coast, but it's not on that arm. So somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
Well, we'll just trust that we'll keep it that way, right? Amen, amen. He counts the stars.
He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
Amen. I'm counting on that this morning. Hallelujah.
Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's bow our heads for a little word of prayer. In Jesus' name, our Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your presence. Your word told us that where two or three are gathered in your name, there in their midst you will be. We know you are here with us this morning, and we know you are here to bless us. We also know you are here to answer our prayers, and therefore we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I am nobody. My word cannot help these people. You are the one that redeemed all of us by your blood. We therefore pray that you come and speak to us, that you come and touch us at the very points of our needs. That, Lord, so that when we go back home today, we will be like the two brothers coming from their way to Emmaus. And we will say, did not our heart burn within us as you spoke with us along the way? May this be our testimony today. Father, we also remember others who maybe, for one reason or the other, they are not able to come this morning. May you extend the blessings to them. Thank you because you have done it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can please be seated for a while. I don't feel like a stranger among you, because we are redeemed by the same blood of Christ. Amen. We are no strangers. Although we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, but we are fellow citizens of the same country. Our kingdom is God's kingdom. Amen. And so I'm very happy to be here. My brother told me, who has been here before, that you are a wonderful people and that your pastor is a very wonderful host. I have heard before, but now I have seen. God bless you, sir. He has really taken me like his own, and I'm so grateful. And the wife, Sister Jennifer, may God bless you. Thank you so much. There's nothing new I'm going to preach to you. It's the same old gospel. Amen. I also bring greetings from my family, my wife, and my children. They said I should greet you. Also, the church and some places I've been, they said, God bless you. Amen. So what I'm going to preach is nothing new. It's what you have heard before. It's just maybe a different flavor. You know, hallelujah. Also, my English is not American English. It is Nigeria English. So you will have to maybe understand with me. But if you don't get anything, I can repeat it. But we will get along. Hallelujah. God bless you. So we are going to rise up now for the reading of the Bible. God bless you. So we are going to read Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, I will read verse 1 to 5. It's right there on the screen. I'll start reading. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of His holy word. You can please be seated. This morning, we are going to look at a topic titled, The Trail of the Serpent. Hallelujah. The Trail of the Serpent. The prophet desired to preach this topic as a whole. though he dropped all the nuggets all over the sermon, but he didn't get the time to preach it as a topic. Amen. So, by the grace of God, I have gathered the snippets here and there to make it as a topic so that we can fellowship around it. Amen. So, I want to read the origin of the... I sectionalized the topic. I said, first, we look at the origin of the topic. Then, we look at the purpose of the topic. Then, we will now get down to see who is the serpent. Then, from there, we will look at how the serpent got into the human race. You know, in the beginning, in the middle of the Bible, and then to the very end. Also, by the grace of God, we will look at the power of the church. The power that we have over this Satan. Hallelujah. I want you to know that Satan is a defeated enemy. It may look like he's powerful, but he is not. Because God has given us a weapon bigger than atomic bomb. Hallelujah. The prophet said, if God knew a better weapon, he would have given it to us. But he gave us the best, which is his word. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but a little jittle of the word will not pass without doing that which it was sent for. So if you take the word into your mouth this morning, it will be as the omnipotent speaking. Amen. And you know what? When the omnipotent speaks, miraculous has got to take place. So this morning, we are expecting miracles. This morning, we are expecting to see the supernatural. Hallelujah. So we will look at the power the church has, and then at the end of it, we will check how does this serpent end. You know, we have an enemy that we already know his end. And so, we are walking from victory. So, victors, I want you to congratulate yourself. We are victors. You are a victor. I am a victor. We are on this earth to claim victory. Because Christ won that victory for us. Hallelujah. Satan is not as powerful as you think he is. We will get to know that even more tonight, today. Hallelujah. So we look at the origin of the topic. There is a quote I want to read. Leadership 65:12-07. Yeah. Paragraph 214. Paragraph 214. Oh, maybe I wrote 77. It's 214. Yeah. It says, if you ever bought one of my tapes, get this when I get it. When I got home, the trail of the serpent. And you will see where it is at. See where this ends up at. Going home now to speak, if the Lord willing. It's about 4 hours. So I won't speak for 4 hours. Don't worry. Hallelujah. So I couldn't keep it at one of the meetings like this. I have to go up there where the church suffers with me so long, patiently. Notice, you can't listen. You can listen at the tape sometime in your home. So there are many other places I can give you the reference where the prophet desired to speak specifically on this topic. We can write it down. It's in Modern Events. It's in I Have Heard, But Now I See. Or trying to do God this. It's all over the places. So I just gather those things to make it a topic. So that's where the topic came from. It's from the quotes. And then we want to look at what is the purpose of this topic. You know, hallelujah. That one we can find in How Can I Overcome? 6308-25M. Okay. Paragraph 105. So how can I overcome? The prophet said, overcome means to recognize the devil at every one of his tricks. Hallelujah. Once you know all the moves of your enemy, you have defeated the enemy. Because there's nothing he can do that you are not ready for. Uh-huh. Said, a lot of people says there is no devil. It is just a thought. Don't you believe that? There is a real devil. He is just as real as you are or anybody. a real devil. And you must recognize him real. You must know he's a devil. And then, the same time that you recognize him and know that he's a devil and he is against you, then to overcome, you must recognize that God in you is greater and mightier than he is. Amen. That the one that is in you has already overcome him. It is by his grace. You are more than a match for him. That's real, amen. Overcoming, we have to recognize the devil. So that the purpose is for us to recognize the devil in every of his tricks. You know, the pastor and I were talking about something yesterday, you know, and that's how the devil works. You'll be thinking it's coming from that door, but he's not using that door. He's probably coming behind you. But a true believer will know all his tricks. Amen. So that is the purpose of this topic, so that we can truly have better understanding of the enemy we are fighting against. Now, who is the serpent? You know, serpent, is it devil? Is it Satan? Is it dragon? Who is he? The Bible gives us the answer. If you check Revelation chapter 12, I don't know whether I give that one. Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9. You know, who is the serpent? Who is the Satan? You know, Revelation chapter 12. Okay. I'm reading from verse 7 to 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So this Bible verse has shown us is the same serpent, Satan, devil, or dragon. So when we say all those things, we are referring to the same being. So if the Bible says serpent, you know, where we read, Bible told us the serpent was more subtle. We are talking about the same being. He's still the devil. You know, God, Abraham told us that God and Satan, they are spirits. And they need a vessel to operate. God needs man. He could have done anything he wants to do by himself. But he has chosen that he will use you and me. And we are so grateful that we are vessels of honor to God's glory. So also Satan, he cannot operate until there is something for him to use. But he can use animals. He can do it. That's why he can enter that serpent. We also saw when Christ met that man of Gadara, the devils pleaded to be cast into the pigs. But that's not God's way. You know, God has purposed to use a man. Amen. One thing you must also understand is that Satan cannot create. He can only pervert. So that limits his ability to do many things. Amen. Hallelujah. We are still reading. We are going to do a number of reading. I'm conscious of time. Isaiah chapter 14. I believe many of us are familiar with that. Isaiah 14. I'll read verse 12 to 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mounts of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, you know. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroy the cities thereof, that open not the house of his prisoners. Amen. We are still talking about serpent. How was he? How did he came to being on the earth? Because he wasn't satisfied with his position. Hallelujah. Our God is a God of orderliness. He places everybody in their position. And one way to serve God correctly, to serve God in the position he placed you. But Satan, he wants to be like the Most High. It is not surprising that we see many people today, they submit themselves to the use of drugs. Why? Because they want to become Most High. You know, it started with the devil. You know, when they apply the drug, they go high. But they cannot be the Most High. It's impossible. It's a perverted way. And so when Satan did that, there can be two captains in a ship. You know, there will be confusion. The way God ordained it, it is headship. And the body must submit to the headship. That's the way God made it. Hallelujah. And that's why the church supports the pastor. That's the headship God placed in the church. That's God's words. And when you obey God's words, there are blessings behind it. Hallelujah. We are still reading. I want us to quickly read these ones. We go to Ezekiel before I start talking. Ezekiel 28. I think I put it there too. 28 verse 13 to 19. We are still looking at who is Satan. Thou, this is Satan again. Thou has been in the Eden of the, in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, the gold and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Notice it was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set this so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. We are going to 19. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Amen. We are still looking at who is the serpent. We have read now Revelation. We've been able to show that serpent, Satan, devil, dragon, the same person. Then we have seen in Isaiah why God sent him to the earth. Because he wanted to be the Most High. He wasn't satisfied with God's position in of him. Bible told us godliness with contentment is a great gain. The devil lacked contentment. So he couldn't stay in heaven. And then we also saw that because he was sent to the earth, he weakened the nations. It caused a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. If not for his presence, the earth will have been millennium. There wouldn't be sickness, there wouldn't be sorrow, but he brought them. But God had a better plan for us. Hallelujah. God has always been ahead of Satan. Amen. Then we saw in Ezekiel how God created him. You know, if you look at the Genesis, I think Levitical priesthood, Aaron and the rest of the priests, they have something called the Urim and Thummim. That had 12 stones. If there is a prophecy or a dream or anything, if the dream is spoken before the Urim and Thummim, those 12 stones must flash. If they flash, that shows it was from God. But look at the devil here, he's having 10 stones. Very close to God. God surpassed the devil by only 2 stones. But I think that is just enough. The 2 stones is enough to do everything. Hallelujah. So Satan, Bible told us, it was very beautiful. No wonder the prophet told us that sometimes when they want to draw Satan, they will draw some beast with some hooves and some horns and stuff like that, and a long tail. That's a wrong picture of devil. In fact, Satan is defined by beauty. Hallelujah. As we can see, even his description shows that being beauty was a major characteristic of Satan. It was a cherub that covers. It was created by God. And that is why believers must be careful of sin. Because sin proposals are always very beautiful. Sometimes irresistible. But we must resist it. Hallelujah. Bible told us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the prophet said the resistance there is to ignore him. Don't mind him. Because when he speaks, he's a liar from the beginning. Everything Satan tells you is a lie. Only the word of God is the truth. Amen. We are still reading. Pardon me. Hallelujah. Although maybe I can gloss over it. We don't need to read this. You can look at 2 Corinthians, just for your reference, 11:14. Bible said there that Satan can sometimes transform to an angel of light. So it's not every time you see light that is God. You must check with the word. There was a time, Martin, one of the messenger, you know, he saw a vision. He saw somebody came and said, I am Jesus. And he was wearing a crown, golden shoe, everything. He said, Martin, bow down for me. And Martin, in that moment, was looking. The scriptures were running through his mind. And he remembered, the Bible said, the saints will crown him Lord of Lords. And he said, if you are Jesus, where did you get the crown from? You know? And then the devil disappeared. Because he's an impersonator. So everything that you see, that you hear, you must bring back to the word. Hallelujah. That's the only way to find out the lies of the devil. You cannot do it by your human wisdom. Because the devil is smarter. He has been with God. So he knows what to do. But he doesn't believe the word. Sometimes he knows the word. He quoted it for Christ. Matthew 4. He told Christ, it is written. You jump down. I will give my angel charge over thee to keep thee in the way. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yes, it is in Psalm 91. But he was misquoting it. That's why Jesus also said, it is also written. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Hallelujah. The devil knows the word, but he doesn't believe it. And the prophet said, if you say you believe, and you don't act according to the word, then it shows you don't believe. So evidence of believing the word is to act according to the word. And that one lays away the devil. It scares the devil away. This morning, we have seen who is the serpent. We know that it's a Satan, it's a serpent, it's a dragon, it's the devil. We know his covering, we know his makeup, and who he is. We know he was created by God in the flaming fire. And God has said categorically that he will bring him to an end. Hallelujah. So we know that definitely, because this devil was created, is going to have an end. Amen. You know, eternal life is God. God is the only one with eternal life. And those who have God in them, they also have an endless life. Amen. Amen. That's why one of the benefits of being a believer is that you have an eternal life. Amen. Your life cannot end. Amen. When we drop this flesh, we will take on the glorified body. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I will look forward to that. Amen. Amen. When all this 16 element is dropped, there is a new one waiting for us. That one will not be weak. Amen. It will not have sickness. There will be no pain. There will be no sorrow. Amen. Brethren, we all look forward to that. Amen. Amen. Now, we want to look at his appearance. You know, after we have seen in Isaiah that the devil was cast down. Now, but when he was there, how did he mingle with the human race? Because he couldn't create. If he had been able to create, he would have created his own people. But he can't do that. So he still has to use the people of God. Don't forget, he wanted the sons of God to worship him. He wants to go to the sides of the north so that you and me can worship him. Brethren, we will never worship him. Hallelujah. And God knows that his own children will never worship Satan. Amen. And so how did he get into our midst? We read from Genesis 3. And after God made heaven and earth, and God said everything was beautiful, perfect. And Adam was there, doing his own business. After a while, we don't know how long Adam has been in the Eden. You know, Bible did not say so. You know, but it got to a time, God decided that he's going to give him a wife. And so God, we know the first surgery was performed by God, you know, and God gave him a wife. And when he saw the wife, he said, wow, behold, this is the flesh of my flesh and the bone of my bone. She shall be called woman. Amen. That's how, sisters, that's how you got your name. Hallelujah. Amen. You have always been part of the man. Then God separated. Amen. And then God now gave instruction. For this purpose, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one. Amen. Therefore, whatsoever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Let nothing put asunder. That's what God said. We believe the word of God. And then life continues in the garden. You know, Bible told us that in the cool of the evening, God will come down and have fellowship. You know, perhaps God was the pastor and then Adam and Eve, they were the church members. And everything was going on fine. And that Satan has always been in the garden of God, according to Isaiah. He was there. Always there, but he has nothing to operate with. And I believe that if we are believers today, if we can fortify ourselves with the word, the devil will have nothing to operate with. Amen. Hallelujah. Until one day, when Adam maybe went on his errand, and then Eve, the woman, was left alone, and then Satan approached. You know, we understand that women, they respond more to what they hear. I believe so. Brothers, speak more to your wives. Hallelujah. The prophet said you should tell them you love them. You know, let them hear it. Meanwhile, the men, they respond more to what they see. Hallelujah. So Satan came, as we read, as God said, you should not eat of any fruit of the garden. And then, what we know, Bible told us that the woman must not preach in the church. If they want to learn anything, let them learn from their husbands at home. You can say, if the husband don't know, that's why you should marry a believer. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Marry somebody that knows. Because that's God's provided way. And so, but Eve, he was trying to respond. Say, no, but of this particular one, and this and that. But that serpent, it wasn't serpent, but Satan operating in him. And so he told her, no, it doesn't matter. You know, that's how they say, this world don't matter. When you say everything don't matter, then what matters? All the word of God, it matter. Amen. As long as God gives it, believers will believe it.
Amen.
Say, it doesn't matter. Just do it. And when you do it, you'll become like God.
Yeah.
If a woman doesn't know who she was, we know that if a tiger gives birth to a child, it will be a tiger cub. A tiger cannot give birth and it will become an elephant. It's not possible. So when God gives birth to children, they are still gods. That's what Eve did not realize. Satan was making a proposal. You are going to become gods. When she was already a god. Brethren, you are gods. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, ye are gods. Because we are God's children. If God's spirit is in us, then we are gods. Hallelujah. So don't let any Satan offer you any proposal of what God has already given you.
Amen.
He did that to Jesus.
Yes.
He said, bow down. I will give you the whole world. The whole world already belongs to Christ. He doesn't need it. Hallelujah. Christ knew that. When he told him, he said, look, only the Lord your God you will serve. Not another. I am your God. It's me you should serve. Not the other way around.
Right.
Brethren, we should know who we are.
Amen.
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 I think in the seven church ages, I can't remember now, the prophet said, one thing the devil has been trying to prevent the church from knowing is for the church to know who she is.
Right.
And that she has been anointed to do the greater works.
Amen.
If the church can know that, he said the church will become an invincible army.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Once we can know who we are, the powers that are available to us,
right,
that is not stopping us.
Right.
Hallelujah. May God give us revelation.
Amen.
So he approached Eve and said, oh, just do that and you'll become God. And she wanted to be God because she didn't know she was already a God. And then the prophet told us that what happened in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't eating of fruit. It was a sex act. Because how did we know that? We saw the outcome. You know, the correct interpretation of a thing is a manifestation. What comes off of it? When God came down, God was not addressing the alimentary canal. You know, mouth, esophagus, stomach, and the rest. God was addressing reproduction. Praise the Lord. Which shows to us where the problem was. And so, when Satan did that, there was time for fellowship. You know, but the devil has already broken the fellowship. So the time for service came, nobody was in service. And you know, preachers, you cannot preach to empty benches. We can't do it. And God couldn't do it. He has to come out of the service, went to look for the congregants.
Yeah.
Adam, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, oh, I'm here. I heard your voice and I was afraid. Afraid of what?
Right. Right.
Have you done what I said you should not do? Oh, it was a woman. You know? It's still the nature of man. We don't take responsibilities. Always passing the buck. We must learn to take responsibilities. If you have made a mistake, own up to it. Make your ways right. Of course, you are human. You can make mistakes. It's your attitude after that matters. Hallelujah. And God himself called unto us, I believe in Isaiah, come to me. Even if your sin be red as scarlet, he's ready to make them white as wool. If they be red as crimson, he said he will make them whiter than snow. Come. Don't run away. Hallelujah. We have a loving Father. Psalm 103 said, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Therefore, it will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He doesn't. He knows who you are. He created you. Hallelujah. And so Adam said, no, it wasn't me. It was that woman. When he looked at the woman said, no, no, no. It was that serpent. And when he got to serpent, serpent couldn't find the devil. It's always like that. Once he deceives people, he runs away. That's why we should not listen to him. And Satan has no defense. So God look at him. Because you have done this, oh, you'll be crawling on your belly and all that. And that's why we know that serpent, it was an upright beast. In short, it was closest to man. The prophet said somewhere that serpent understand the ways of life. He understood reproduction. Hallelujah. And that's why the devil used him. Oh, hallelujah. If not, because Bible has already said, let every seed bring forth its kind. That's why I couldn't use any other one except that one. God purposely put that one there. Because God had a greater plan, which you will see in time. So, when he mingled, God came down to the woman. In sorrow shall I give birth. You know? Because it wasn't stomach issue. It was womb issue. And then he also put enmity between the son of serpent and of the woman. And that's why every time the devil is always after God's children. Because the enmity is always there. So if he's not after you, you have to check. Because he has to be after you. Hallelujah. Hunters, right? In Africa, the hunters, they have hunting bag. When they kill a game, they put it in the bag. I want to ask you, the games in the bag, do they still hunt after it? Do they run after the ones in the bag? Obviously not. Because it's already in the bag. Brethren, we are not in the bag of Satan. So he's going to run after us every day. Hallelujah. But we will defeat him every time. Amen. And for Adam, he said, because you listen to the voice of your wife, cause be the ground for you. And all that and all that. And then we saw that as a result of that action, two sons were born. Cain, firstborn. And then Abel, secondborn. And Bible never called Cain the child of Adam. Bible says Cain, child of the wicked one, son of the wicked one. Because he was of Satan the devil. But how did we know? By his actions. Jesus referred to him, I believe in John. We are not reading. John. He said, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. And he was a liar. Nobody taught Cain how to kill anybody. He was the first murderer recorded by the Bible. Because he had another thing in him. We are talking about how Satan entered the human race. So Cain, it was Satan personified. That was the first Satan in flesh. And then all his action showed that, you know, when he killed Cain, God said, God put a mark upon him, and then he went away. And then we saw the two lineages, they were separate. Saints from Satan, they began to worship God. Those ones are apart. From Cain, they were apart. But something happened. After a while, we are talking about how Satan entered into the human race. Genesis 6. You can look at it. We may not need to read it. You know, Bible told us that men, you know, sons of God. That's why when we look at how Satan is entering families too, we will explain that. You know, it says sons of God, they went into daughters of men. Yes. And then what was the outcome? Giants were born. Yes. Spiritual giants, intellectual giants, physical giants, all kinds of giants. Right. Hybrid. And God don't ever like hybrid. Right. That's why I say, under those circumstances, should a believer marry an unbeliever? Right. Because we bring forth hybrid. Right. You know, and God don't want it. God is not a mixer. God is a separator. Hallelujah. Amen. And so in Genesis 6, that's how the race, the lineage become mixed. You know, some Pentecostals think it was angels that came into daughter. No. You know, let every seed bring forth his kind. Angels cannot reproduce with human beings. There is no scripture for that. It was God's children who should know better that are going to the daughters of men, marrying unbelievers. And then it produced confusion. Bible said people became very wicked until God repented for creating humans. And what did God do? He called Noah. Hallelujah. Say, enough of this. Let me clean it off. And then we know the story of Noah. We will not go into that. But you now see, after God had killed all the bad people, how come we have trouble again? You know, the prophet told us that through Ham, the serpent seed escaped. Hallelujah. And you can go to Genesis 10. When they put on the lineage, there was a man born. He was son of Cush, Nimrod. You know, and Bible said Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one on the earth. He became a great hunter before the Lord. The prophet said before the Lord, that means against God. It was the personification of Satan again. Ah, you say, how did we know that? Bible did not say, Bible said so. You just have to read between the lines. If you go to Genesis 11, in Genesis 10, Bible already said, you know, verse 10, 8 to 10, you can just note it. Bible said the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel. Now, if you go to Genesis 11, you will see that when he gathered the people, Bible said the whole earth was of one accord, one speech. And then somebody rose up, said, let us build a great tower. There's no point praying to God. You want to see God? Just go up the stairs. You know? Always like that. Satan's desire is the same. He doesn't like following God's provided way. We must follow God's provided way. Because there are blessings in following that. And they said, let's build a tower, a great house. We just walk up to God and ask him questions. And then God even came down and said, what? These people have started, and then they will do it. Brethren, there is power in unity. He said, if any two of you shall agree upon one thing, I will know the common two, husband and wife. That's why in your homes there must be unity. It must happen. Because with that unity, you can achieve a lot. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Say, if any of you can, any two of you can agree, you will ask and it shall be done. Yeah. But in chapter 9, God came down. Chapter 11, verse 9, God scattered them. And then the name of that place was called Babel, which was the beginning of the kingdom of Nimrod. So Nimrod, we see, continued the prospect of Satan. He was the one, you know, I think that East loves to Babylon, all those kind of things the prophet mentioned. You see how all this mother and son religion that we now have in Catholic Church, Mary, mother of Christ, all those kind of things, it started back then. You know, a son that the mother is worshiping. You know, it's the whole Lord. So that's how, in the beginning, that old serpent infiltrated the human race. From Genesis, God tried to clean him up. He showed up again. Oh, are you thinking God is failing? No, because there is a greater plan. Amen. Hallelujah. The prophet told us that God, he has many attributes in him, like being a healer, a deliverer, and so forth. And if there is nobody to heal, what is the use? If no one falls sick, what is the use? So God wanted all these things to happen so that he can manifest his attributes. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you pray to God every day, God is not tired. The The prophet said, God wants to be bothered by your troubles. So don't say, oh, I don't want to bother God. Bother him. Pray to him. Ask him. He said, ask until your joints be full. Hallelujah. Don't say, oh, don't let me, oh, I've asked. Ask again. Ask and ask and ask. Because God said so. Hallelujah. I jump quickly to in the middle of the Bible. And I just pick the one that's relevant to our time. You know, in the book of Daniel, hallelujah, we have four brothers. You know, Jeremiah said earlier that they will go into captivity.
Yeah.
You know, 70 years and so forth. And so, as a result of that, four brothers were captured, among others.
Right.
But they did not lose their testimony.
Right.
Amen. Wherever we are, doesn't change our testimony.
Amen.
We don't blend. Bible said, let your conversation be known to all men.
Amen.
You know, let them know I am a Christian.
Amen.
So that they know what to do around you.
Yes.
These boys, they called the chamberlain or the eunuch of the king. Said, look, we cannot take all these things. It's contrary to our faith. Ah, that one said, no. If I do that, the king will kill me. Okay, we understand. Test us for 10 days. If nothing changes, then. But in 10 days, Bible said they look better than all the other ones.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because God will back up a faithful witness.
Amen.
And so their life continue. I think they have to be prepared for 3 years before they can appear before the king. And when that time came, Bible said they were far better, 10 times better than every other person. Because our God is the God of excellence.
Amen.
Amen. Bible told us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. God will give us wisdom. In the course of time, the king had a dream. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king, the absolute monarch. You know? And then he didn't remember the dream. Talk less of what the dream meant. And that bothered him. And he called all the magicians. Bible said so. All the astrologers, everybody. I have had a dream. They said, well, no problem. Tell us the dream. The king said, I can't remember. What? They told the king, nobody ask anybody for that. You must tell us your dream. Then we give you the interpretation. He said, oh, you people are wasting my time now. He ordered them killed. Because they don't have time. There is no democracy. There is no Senate or House of Rep. It's yes and amen. No question. But before then, the message got to Daniel and the brothers. And then they said, please hold on. And then the four brothers went to pray. That's how believers tackle situations. If issues arise, what do? Put it to God first. When it is all done, we still take it back to God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And God showed the dream to Daniel and the interpretation. You know? And then it was, he appeared, they took him before the king. Oh, king, there's somebody. Before then, those astrologers, they told the king that nobody, no human can do that. Only the gods can see your dream and interpret it. The king heard them. So when they brought Daniel, he got before the king and he told the king, oh king, this is your dream. You saw a great image. Terrible. Head of gold. Right? Breast and of silver. You know, stomach of brass and thigh. Leg and feet, iron mixed with clay.
Right.
Hallelujah. Oh, the king said, that was it. Yeah. Here is the interpretation. It was the Gentile kingdom.
Right.
All of us know today that we are still in the Roman kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. And the prophet told us that Rome, you know, that deadly beast, he had a deadly wound, but it was healed. And then he revived.
Yeah.
The prophet said it was pagan Rome. You know, that was mortally injured and then revived and became Papa Rome. It's still the same Roman. Yeah, it's America today or anywhere, but the real, the hand behind the clock is the Roman kingdom. The name may not be Roman, but the action is Roman. Hallelujah. So the beginning, it was Babylon's kingdom. Babel is still Babylon. You know, what Nimrod started continued to Nebuchadnezzar. It was the head of gold. Absolute monarchy. No questions. Then we have the Medes and Persia, and then it went down to the Greek, and then today, Roman. Iron mixed with clay. Iron is the strongest of those metals. You know, the gold, the silver, and the brass. Iron is alloy, an alloy, and is stronger than all of them. But he had a weakness. You know, the prophet dramatized that when Khrushchev and Eisenhower, when they were having, Eisenhower means iron. Khrushchev, clay. So that's a strength and weakness in this kingdom. But it's still the strongest. Hallelujah. And this will continue till Christ comes. So we are in that time now. You know, it's another sermon on its own. I want to move. So that was what I wrote down for the ages. Then through these same ages, during that same period, we have the time of the seven church ages. All of us know that we are in the last age today. You know, it started, that Satan is known as Antichrist during this time. You know, every time, anything, an Antichrist means anti-word. Anything contrary to the word is an antichrist. We must not let it flourish in our lives. Amen. You can read that in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I want to read Power of Transformation, 65:10-31m. Paragraph 157. Power of Transformation. Excuse me. Power of Transformation, paragraph 157. Just to buttress, so is the Antichrist through the seven church ages. That's how we know him. That's the name he bears. You know, and he's doing all the workings. Bible told us in the book of Revelation that, you know, the four horse riders. The prophet told us that it's just one person. You know, changing the horse is a beast. And that's power. You know, biblical times is just symbolism. You know, it's operating using different kind of power. We saw the first horse rider, he was riding a white horse, you know, which some denomination thought that was Christ. Even the prophet said before the revelation, he thought it was Christ too. Because he was there, he had a bow and no arrow. Innocent. And then he jumped from that white horse, he jumped into a red horse. And then to a black one, and then to a pale one. You know, the prophet showed us that those are the powers. That's how it was operating. And then there was a counter. You know, Bible also told us that there are living creatures that God assigned to counter the Antichrist in all his moves throughout the seven church ages. So the first one, it was like a lion. You know, first church ages. Then the next one was like a ox, sacrificial animal. You know, during the dark ages, where they were killing and killing, you know, and Jesus told us, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground, it abideth alone. You know, it was a planting season. You know, God was planting to reap many more. And then after that, we saw another one that looked like the face of a man. The wisdom, you know, printing the Bible and all those technology that we are still benefiting from today. Then after that, which is for our own time, we have the one that looked like a flying eagle. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And that's why when they asked the prophet, said, What age would you like to be born? He said, I chose today. Because this is the age of that sees the farthest and clearest. Amen. I mean, America, we have bald eagle here. So we know what the eagle is like. You know, it's a bird of prey. The further it goes, the clearer it sees. And that's the anointing that we are operating under. So no matter what the devil is trying to hide, the hearts of faith will catch it. Hallelujah. We don't operate blindly anymore. Because we can see fathers. Amen. Do we have that quote? Power of transformation. I can read it here. Paragraph 157. I'll read it. And remember, follow that seed. As we will track it in a few weeks on this serpent. You follow that. It switches right through the scripture. Watch it. Them two vines grew right together. As you heard my message on the vine. You know, we are saying that those two vines, Cain and Abel, they are still intertwined. You know? The two vines grew right together as you heard my message on the vine. They come right up together and so close together that it would almost deceive the very elected, if possible. In the last days, when it come to the edge, it put forth a grain, just like a wheat, but it isn't a wheat. You know? It isn't. It's a shock yet. So what am I saying? That in this our period, the two vines, they are no more clearly defined. You know? Everything goes in the same church. No wonder even the prophet preached three kinds of believers. But we know we are believers. Because by your fruits, you shall be known. You know? The two vines, they are going, and Bible told us that the shock is us, the tears are needed. If you plant a corn now, you won't get the corn immediately. You have the blade, you have the stem, you have the leaves, until you have the tassel. And yet, you are waiting for the corn. But without those ones, you can't have your corn. It's impossible. So all those things are needed. We can't be the only one in the world. Everybody is needed. Because we can't do it all alone. God understands that. So that's why we don't disregard anybody because they have purposes. Peter cannot do the work of Judas. That's why Jesus himself called Judas because he had a role in the ministry. Hallelujah. So God put people for a purpose. Our prayer always is our purpose to be for God's glory, to be a vessel of honor and not to dishonor. Because God's way will be done regardless. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter how smart the devil is, Bible told us he's a failure. That's the end of it. That's what I believe. Hallelujah. So everywhere I go, I know I must overcome Satan. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. So that's how it is in the Middle Ages till our own time. Then I put quickly here, that how does it also, you know, the church is also a reflection of the individuals. How does it infiltrate individuals and homes? Because it doesn't leave us alone. Because he has told God, you own that heaven. I own the earth. But God said, no, my people are in the earth. That's why the prophet preached a sermon, Satan's Eden. Prophet Jesus even agreed with Satan. He said, I will give you everything. He owns it, the cosmos. But it doesn't own us. We belong to Christ. Amen. So he's doing everything to infiltrate everywhere. We will look, how did this start in the beginning? For individuals, this will be preached, I mean, by the pastor and everybody else. We must be sure that we keep the word in all our dealings. I know we are in such a perilous time. Bible said so. Things have become, there is so much gray area, we don't even know the difference anymore. But let's stick to the word. If God says don't do this, don't do it. Brethren, don't let's find excuse for sin. Because it will hurt us later. It will. It might look beautiful, it might look sensible, it might look like it's correct. But once the word didn't say so, don't let's do it. Hallelujah. In the Revelation 6 that we read, one of the ways he entered was mixed marriages. The prophet talked about it, that God don't want to mix marriages. Because you see, that one convert the other, or the other converts the one. You know? And he said, most of the times, it's always the bad one that converts the good one. So it's always better to stay within the faith. Oh, you say, oh, there, I can't find an handsome brother. It's because you are looking wrongly. There are handsome brothers here. There are beautiful sisters here. Amen. Stick within the confines. Hallelujah. Because that will give you more peace. Amen. Because it's the word of God. It's proven and it's tested. Hallelujah. I want to read Revelation. I'll read it here quickly. Revelation 12. I'm talking about its infiltration into the homes and individual. Just verse 10 and 11. I'll read it. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. That's what I want to pick out there. How do we overcome? By the word. Even as an individual, raise the word above every other thing. Raise it above all your emotions. Know that if the word says no, then it is no. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Hallelujah. So, that mixed marriage is one way he has infiltrated. Another way, I call it neglect. That's particularly between husband and wife. You know, we are trying to make a home. Of course, we come from two different backgrounds, and we maybe understand, but we must come together. There must be unity based upon the word. Because if you look at what happened to Adam. Adam, he wasn't at home when the serpent operated. You know? So we must always don't say, he knows what he's doing, or she knows what he's doing. Let's always be sure. Let's come together. The cooperation, we cannot overemphasize the importance of cooperation. Hallelujah. As individuals and as a family. Hallelujah. You know, because the prophet told us that shadows, they don't fail. When you see the shadow of an elephant, it can't be a lion. It will be an elephant. So when we look at what has happened in the past, we can learn from them and avoid their mistakes. So, what I'm telling us is that Satan, Bible says, Satan will not leave you like that. Right. He will always come up. But when he comes up, the word of God is a sure defense against Satan. Amen. Hallelujah. And also, the prophet said, Jesus taught us how to do it. Right. And what did he do? Bible said, never used any of his powers. Yeah. You know, Christ even said, If this word were my kingdom, I could call legions to defend me. He could say anything. He was able to make turn water into wine. He fed 5,000 with two loaves and five fishes, right? He stopped the storm. But when the devil came up against him, what did he do? He only spoke. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And that is the way we, as individuals and as family, that's what we must apply. I don't care how terrible or fearful the Satan approaches you, just stick by the word. Amen. Hallelujah. I think maybe in the afternoon or in the evening, we'll talk about our powers and Satan's end. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I want to end now. So we'll continue later in the evening. We will talk about our own powers, the powers that God has given us over Satan, and we'll look at the end of Satan. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.